Okay, we're ready to go.
Okay, John, I had a question about relationship. As your were selfless self in relationship, but sometimes old psychological stuff will come up in the relationship that's more separate self kind of stuff. So could you say something about how to navigate relationship?
Relationship with selfless self.
Well, no, relationship with a person, like a romantic relationship or a marriage or whatever, when psychological stuff from old tapes or old things, you get triggered some way.
Well, I mean, just remember that, and I think Maharaj has said before. Because different people would come to him and say, "Oh, my husband is not very spiritual, or what to do, and my child, he's not doing well in school, and I want to get closer to this lady. I'm not sure if I should marry or not." And Maharaj just says, "We're not, this is not spirituality. This will not be, there's no, like, not a psychologist or anything like this. Basically, by remaining with your selfless self, it's spontaneous action, and then whatever is occurring is occurring. We're not here to direct, this body-based existence, because there's no director. Like, you're the source of this body-based existence, this illusion, and to try and get the illusion a little way this way or a little way that way." I mean, you can always know deep inside that you're formless, and all of this is not. You can still have relation and still have job and do your job, do your duties, take care of your family. You can still be in a relationship, but there's not a, it's not like that. There's no such like taking the touch so heavily that I need to do this, or this relationship needs to progress like this, or I'm not getting along with my partner or anything like that. Because there's no you there. There's no mind flow identifying with me and somebody else. There's just spontaneous action and speaking in the moment. And then you'll just know in the moment, okay, this is happening or that's happening, and nothing's actually happening. It's only when we drop down into this body-based illusion that we start to worry about like birth, death, relationships, career, succeeding or not succeeding, or fear of failure. All of those are body-based. You're formless. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. All the relations are body-based relations. All the family is body-based. This body is a lump of the five elemental goo, with the presence animating and believing itself to be something separate, which it's not. And then this body comes along with other bodies because it's a body factory. Two lumps of goo called mom and dad get together and create another lump of goo called you. And then that lump of goo goes around looking for other lumps of goo from the position that it's a person. And it needs other people, and it needs friends, and it needs this, and it needs that. And there's no position. You're positionless. You are formless. You can have a relationship, have, romance, get married, all this kind of stuff, but it has nothing to do with your spirituality, other than you won't be bothered by this train of thought or trying to figure things out or trying to create expectation of something when you're not a thing.
So trying to work out dynamics in the psychology aspect of the self, the separate self, it's just not relevant to the deeper truth, right?
Well, if you remain with your
The deeper
selfless self, you'll observe all this occurring spontaneously. The psychology, it's not like that. You're formless, using form. Just as, I mean, you can have a relationship with this body, you pick it up, put it down, speak, whatever, but there's nothing impressing, there's nothing touching you. You're not a person, you're not a thing. There are no things. You're formless. It's only this mind train flow of thought. And I think Maharaj has said before, like this whole idea of love and loving everyone and love, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Prior to being this, there was no love. Prior to this body-based existence, you didn't know anything at all, not even yourself. So now that this form-based illusion is here, you can have the illusion of experience. So you're experiencing using this body form, but you, the formlessness in which all these bodies are appearing and disappearing, are not experiencing. You're formless now. You're formless when this body can no longer sustain your essence. And you're formless prior to this body-based illusion. Don't be the deer in the mirage going for a drink of water. It's a mirage. You know, there's nothing to try and wrest out of this life. These desires of for personal relationship and such, okay, so there's personal relationship. And if it doesn't go well, okay, then that's that. And you do in the moment, and that's it. You're not torturing yourself because there's no mind flow. If you truly are in meditation and you're deeply realizing yourself, you're remaining with that selfless self, that sense of presence, I am, the sense of existence, that you are, just I, won't have relationship like this. And yet you may observe this body going through and you may love someone, that's fine. But deep down inside, you're not taking the touch of this. It's not impressing because you're not there. There's nothing that can be, you know, you remain in your formless nature, go for a walk with somebody. Okay, it works out. Good. Maybe you go to dinner. Not now, of course, it's COVID-19. So you'd have to, I don't know how you do. You yeah. Take out. And be on Zoom, they'd be eating their dinner in Zoom, you'd be eating your dinner in Zoom and having a nice romantic evening. But it's not, there's nothing, you know, and you know this right now, it's not like your life has changed. Prior to understanding yourself, it was this way, you just didn't know this. And now you understand yourself, you're formless. You are not body, you are not body, you're not going to remain the body. So all of this body-based illusion in which the concept of experiences and experiencer and experiencing is occurring, it's not true. Just as in your dream tonight, you lay down, maybe you meet some really great guy and you're walking hand in hand and you spend a beautiful evening together. And you, if you continue dreaming, you know, in a long dream, maybe you get together, maybe you don't. Maybe you move in together and then you start fighting and then you get back together and then you fall in love again. But it's all in the dream. When you wake up, there's nothing. And with this body-based illusion, when you're no longer having this body as an instrument to experience, then it's gone. It's over. And so you don't take it seriously. It's a long dream. I am somebody else, but you're nobody. You're everybody. And just because you believe you're a woman having a body, you desire a man who also has a body. But if you remain with your selfless self, then these may or may not appear, and you just go along with this. But there's no trying to work it out. And again, you just go about your daily activities. You don't have to. This is the most important, and this is why a lot of times people will say, I was really remaining with selfless self, and then this happened, and I started thinking again, or whatever. But see, you're not remaining with selfless self. You are selfless self, and in meditation, you'll realize, oh, so that I am that, and now go about. Until this body falls, you'll have the illusion of experience, and you'll be experiencing.
How about your experience in relationships?
Again, see.
I think he's. I don't know. Asking him personal questions doesn't help much.
Yeah, I'm not. See, there's not a. If whatever's happening is just a scene in the moment, and maybe you enjoy the scene, maybe you don't enjoy the scene, but the scene passes, and there's not a you in it. You know, it's playing chess, but all the pieces are your own self. You have no dog in the fight. If it goes good, if it goes not good, it's all mind created. And it has nothing to do. That's why a lot of times you see like different gurus and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. And they say, oh, why does this guy behave like this if he's so spiritual and all that? Because it has nothing to do with body-based behaviors. You know yourself. You realize the sense of presence. You realize, no, I mean, it's fine. I see everybody can speak anytime. But you know yourself. Now just go out and do your thing. And when the mind comes in and you try to get a thought about something, then you choose, is this a thought I want to activate? Like, in other words, I want some water. So I pick up the water and I take a drink. And then it's finished. If a thought comes in, oh, John, everybody's looking at you. You didn't comb your hair tonight. There's nothing like this because you're formless. You've trained your mind, I guess, for lack of a better word, as the instrument, that you automatically discard any thoughts about these body-based illusory experiences that are not actually happening. You're not sitting there saying, oh, I wish I had a girlfriend, or I wish I had a wife, or I wish I had a husband, or whatever. You're not thinking about these things because you're not thinking, because you're not there. There's no thinker.
Can we say like this? So the seeking of other person or going to the things is there because of the body-based knowledge. So we are seeking there is a seeking of happiness outside. But when this false knowledge is gone, then there is no question of seeking the happiness. No?
Exactly.
That means everything.
Just like Maharaj says. Money, publicity, sex, these are things that could provide temporary happiness. When you're with your selfless self, there's nothing that needs to be added. See, the whole concept of like, quote, relationships is, you know, somebody says, oh, this person, they complete me. No, you're complete as you are. And if you happen to get into a personal relationship, as long as you don't lose yourself and give yourself away and you can remain with your selfless self, okay. But again, you are selfless self. There's no need. There's no needs, no requirements. All needs, all requirements came along with the body. Just remember, you are not a body. I think somebody did ask Maharaj about that. They said, you know, Maharaj, I don't know that I can do spirituality because I really like women. I mean, I just love women. You know, I'm constantly, and he said the same thing. Think about this body is a dead body animated by presence. Your body is a dead body animated by presence. Presence is not male or female. The bodies that happen to be given life, so to speak, or the appearance of life due to the presence within the body, it has no attraction for itself. You know yourself in a real sense, and these things won't impress. They may happen. Again, just like you go to work, you may go and find people and socialize and enjoy yourself, but you're not losing yourself. You remain with your selfless self and do your job, do your duties, and you don't have to keep reminding yourself. See, when I say remain with your selfless self, it's like Maharaj says, in meditation, you will sit. And that just I feeling, I without anything, presence, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Oh, so that I am that. Master has said, you are not body, you are formless. And now you feel this subtle formlessness in the form of presence. And oh, that's all there is. So now go about and do what you like. If you want a relationship, get in a relationship. If you want, but at the same time, if it goes really, really bad, you're not going to be one of these people who drives their car off a bridge because you say, oh, okay, it didn't work out. Because you're not taking the touch. You're not so heavily impressed. Oh, okay, this one didn't work out. I'll go have another relationship. Okay, I am so-and-so. Let's get together. Okay. And you don't have to. tell every person, oh, you know, you're the formlessness and I'm formless. And I just wanted to see if while we're in this body-based illusion, we might be able to, you know, click or something. It's not like that either. See, all of this, and that's why Maharaj says, like, these little spiritual speeches and stuff, they're meaningless if you have not done the meditation and sat with your selfless self. That presence, when it's known, okay, so that I am that. Now, as you're forgetting yourself, you refresh your memories. Maybe you go back to mantra, just breathing. Maybe you sit. You just invite the attention of the invisible listener. Oh, yes, so that I am that. And then that's whatever needs to be done is done. Take the bus, your selfless self. Go to work, your selfless self. Flirt with somebody in the cafeteria line at work, your selfless self. Your selfless self. There's nothing you can do to not be selfless self. You're just either impressing, oh, I'm selfless self, and these things are occurring, but they're not actually happening. Or you're impressing, I don't know if I'm selfless self. I've heard that I'm selfless self. Master says I'm selfless self. All the books say, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. There's nothing except your selfless self. And yet, if a doubt comes in the mind, it's just a doubt about your formlessness, and that doubt needs to be removed with meditation or sitting quietly in mantra until, okay, yes, I feel that subtle, just I. Then I know in this body form it's just glimpses of I. Just I. There's no John in here. Where's John? There's no John. John is the label that's stuck to this body that just I is animating and moving and pumping the heart and breathing the lungs and all of that kind of stuff. But just like a banana on the counter, when this body can no longer sustain the essence, then the body-based experiencing is no more. But you are very much there because you already know, oh yeah, just I, formless I. Can't be burned, can't be split, can't be nothing. Nothing.
Sir, this thought could be a contradiction to the earlier conclusion, but the question is, it's easy to recognize, point out to oneself that, okay, you are not whatever is being experienced when the negative experience happens. But when something positive happens, maybe one might be indulging or, enjoying the company of the beloved. It could be our daughter or son or mother, or it could be, a lover. In that moment, recognizing that one is not the body or one is that self, it's not, it's very, it appears that, it's very difficult to recognize that one is beyond. See, when some negative experience happens, then it hits so hard, okay? There is some suffering or some pain that gives sense that to seek for who am I, or, to seek for what is the nature of me. But when the positive experiences or some pleasure, something is happening, at that time, it's very difficult to recognize. That sense is completely gone. So
there's no need to recognize the spontaneous conviction. You can just sit just now, just sit and just feel this subtle presence. And just dissolve into it. And that's it. And there's no, and you may or may not feel this all the time because it takes, just in that moment, the attention went to the presence. But normally you are the presence, but now you're using the attention to seek the presence and to feel the presence using this body form. But that presence is, the entire world is projected on that spontaneous presence. You are that. There is nothing other than that. You feel that using the body form. And again, we talk about scooping. You're scooping And this is the selfless self-intoxication. You're sitting for meditation. At first, you may sit in meditation and some thoughts will come. So, Master has given the mantra. You sit and you recite the mantra because right now you believe yourself to be a body trying to experience the selfless self. So, you are using mantra. Mantra starts to clear away the thoughts slowly, silently, permanently. And then this just very nice, just die, some spontaneous happiness is there, some feeling of undescribable, really. You may, because you're in a body form belief, you may feel like you're expanding. It's actually the body pressures are dissolving because without the thought flow pressuring you that you're a body, these thoughts just flow by. And you're not really paying attention to them because you're starting to pay attention to this spaciousness, this peace, this just very, very, very deep presence. And you just keep looking. You don't allow the thoughts to come and go, and you just remain. And that is your meditation. You're concentrating on the concentrator. And then, okay, you say, okay, now I'm going to leave my meditation. I've spent a little bit of time with myself. I can feel this feeling. I'm going to go out into the world and do my thing. And that's in the beginning. And then eventually you'll start walking around and with the mantra, and you'll just start feeling formless. You'll just, you know, you're very much experiencing your formless nature, moving about and scenes are coming before you and you're just remaining with mantra. And then there'll be little things like maybe your boss gives you a hard time or maybe your relationship doesn't go so well or something like this. And that'll be a time to remain with mantra and refresh the memory. Oh, yes. And the more, see, like we talked about, God is a jealous God. Are you spending time with presence? Or are you like saying, okay, after meditation, I feel a little bit presence and that's good. I'm good. Or are you diving into that presence, literally like a backflip into that presence? Just die, so that I. And now Master has told you you're formless. Now you're starting to experience your formlessness. And of course, Master has said no experience, no experiencer. And that's because this subtle knower is, you can only know this presence through the body, but the presence is everywhere. It's in every being. It's formless. It's the consciousness or whatever you want to call it. The dream is projected. And you, believing yourself to be an object in the dream, just have to remove this concept of being an object slowly, silently, and permanently. And then there is no fading in and out of presence. I know myself. That's the spontaneous conviction. Oh, so that I am that. This is what Nisargadatta Maharaj has talked about. It's what Sri Ramakant Maharaj has talked about. It's what Siddharameshwara Maharaj has talked about. I've read the books. They've pointed to this selfless self, this just I without anything. This presence, this spirit, whatever you want to label it, this calm, amazing peace, the nectar of immortality. And now I drink from that. And by drinking in that, I just remain with presence. And as I'm going about my daily activities, I remain with presence. And then after a while, I don't have to remain with presence because that's the spontaneous conviction. I am that. Like, this body, I am not. This presence, I am. But the presence, it can only be felt when the spirit clicked with the body and you say, I. But this body is just an instrument. Inside this body is the formless holder of the body, just I, just I. And now you understand, well, if I'm formless, in the entire form-based illusion, is actually nothing because you're not a form, you're formless. The concept of individuality was created, and Maharaj uses the example of the walls in the bathroom and the walls in the ashram, but the space is the same. If the walls come down, meaning these bodies drop, The space is the space. The presence is the presence. It doesn't go anywhere. You don't die because you were never born. All these forms are just being created and destroyed within your formlessness that you are. You're the space in the room. You're not the objects in the room. And yet, let's say, for a conversation, you click with this lump of goo and suddenly realize that you exist. And in this existence, you're looking around from the perspective of being a body, and you see things. And because you are the belief that you're a thing, you don't know yourself as the space in the room that clicked with this lump of flesh and said, I, and then started seeing. You're the space. The only way the space knew itself was through an object within itself. And then when it believed itself to be an object, it saw other objects and created a, quote, life. But the space never was born and never died. As soon as the space leaves this body and re-enters the room, so to speak, it's the same. It never has the experience. Everything that's occurring within the space is absolutely illusion. And as Maharaj will say, the sky. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. You do not know yourself. You know yourself when this body form is available. As Maharaj says, like a lighter, and Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the example of the lighter too. He lights the lighter. Oh, there's the flame. Oh, now the flame's going to die. And he puts it out. Now the flame, it's take birth. Boom. Now the flame is dead. Now the flame takes birth again. Look, look, look. So many births and so many deaths. But does anything know anything? No. It's the same. Formlessness clicks with a form and, oh, I exist. Mom and dad are there and they say, John. John goes and does good things. Oh, good job, John. You ate your peas and carrots so nice. Oh, bad job, John. You're trying to stick your finger in the electric socket. So then ego is developed of actions. John is doing these actions. John is doing good things. John is doing bad things. Mind is impressed. Don't do bad things because people won't like you, because mom and dad, they scold you when you do bad things. And so all these body-based impressions start to come. You go to the religion or whatever, the church, and then you get more concepts that now when this body falls, you're going to go to this place called heaven or Valhalla or some kind of other place of an afterlife. And everybody tells you about an afterlife, but there is no life really, because there's no birth, no death. The formlessness experiencing itself with form in all the various forms, and then no longer experiencing yourself. But this is it. And that's why it's very proper to say nothing. The something appeared in the nothing, and it will return back to nothing. Because the something is the illusion of experience and the illusion of existence of I exist as this body. But I don't exist as this body. And I don't even really exist, because the existence creates this duality. I exist. No. You're prior to everything. Prior to being this, you didn't know about religion. You didn't know about mom and dad. You didn't know about body. You didn't know about anything. And after beingness, or after this body-based existence or this experiencing is no more, this body, you leave the body, whatever, you will not know about mom and dad. You will not know about, because this is just the same. And this is why the dream example is so very beautiful. But we get hung up in the idea that, well, in a dream, you can't do this, you can't do that. In a dream, every night you go to sleep and a world is created and people are in the dream and you're a people in the dream doing different people stuff. And you see the sun and the moon and the stars, and you have experiences, and then you wake up and you realize it was a dream. Now, where people get confused is if you say, well, how is that dream like life? Well, because the body-based existence is the dream, because the dreamer that's dreaming they have a body is absolutely formless, and this creation is within that formless nothing. And once this dream is woken up from, meaning there's not an object within the body-based existence because there's no longer a body, then the dream is over. And that's the dream. Just the same as every night. Every night you have a mini death, so to speak, because you go off into the dream and you're gone and then you come back. And the same thing when you're in this body-based existence. You click with the body, you have this, I am somebody, I am this body, and then this experience is no more, and they call that death. But you don't call it death because you're not there to call it anything. You see?
So if we just, you know, take assume your taxonomy, body, senses, then comes the mind, you know, all just, you know, they are the, like, you know, they once, if you just compare, one is like more gross than other, but if you look, everything is ignorant state only looks. So then whatever the presence we believe, which comes after the birth, then it is also a kind of ignorance. So then who knows that I am that? Like, you know, it appears like magic. You say like, nothing exists apart from the self, that I am that presence.
Because it's formless. So that automatically negates everything. How can you have another something and be formless? It's not possible.
Okay. So there is no one to know apart from that presence. If there Correct. Is anyone to.
Correct. Yeah. If you remain, just like Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you remain with the I am and it will take you in. Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, invite the attention of the invisible listener. Presence within this body, recognizing it's not a body, nor does it need a body, and yet it is. And that you are.
So that means, like, even the consciousness, beingness, that is also a sentient thing.
Consciousness, sentient. Beingness?
Yeah, beingness, like, you know, beingness means whatever, one, like this absence of thought, what do you call it? Like, it's just awareness or presence, no? So in the waking state, when there is no thought, so that I amness or beingness, all these labels, you know, these are
That's
also
the thing. Like, all the labels came along with the body, and we can get so lost in that. And that's why people wind up saying, oh, I did 20 years of spirituality, I did 30 years of spirituality. Because every single body-based concept breeds more concepts and more confusion. Step out, as Maharaj says, step out of the illusory circle and throw these concepts away. Everything you've ever learned, throw that away. It's completely useless. All of the things you know about spirituality, throw that away. Completely useless. Remain with your selfless self. Just sit. What's here? Just die. That you are. Where all experience ends, there you are, as Maharaj says. trying to figure it out, gross body, subtle body, this body, that body, throw it away. All of those, again, remember, Das Bod, master of self-realization, I am that, selfless self, ultimate truth, they are roadmaps to yourself. Once you are here, you can throw the roadmaps away because you've reached your destination. Maharaj says, this is the final terminus. This is it. It's finished. You're done. And it's not a waste, because some people will say, well, I had so much spirituality. It's not a waste because it brought you here. And now here you are. Maharaj has said, and that is the formless presence, absolutely knowing itself as the formless presence, in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, telling you, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. This subtle presence that you're feeling, discard everything except that and remain there. And then the spontaneous conviction will be, well, if I'm remaining there and presence is all there is, then all of this is discarded and you're with yourself. And now you don't have to be yourself, you are yourself. And yet you can play, because now you're not taking the touch. Just like you go on a long drive and you're driving and you're enjoying the scenery and all this kind of stuff, you may lose track of time because you're not thinking about where you're going or what you're doing. You're just being. And see, then even when you know this, when you can feel the sense of presence and you know this spirit, this is what they have labeled God, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, Master. All these labels are for this. Spirit, presence, I am, whatever you want to call it. All these labels are for this. We know the labels are needed now because mind is not in functioning mode anymore. Mind is like now you're like a calculator. You take it out to perform different functions and put it away. That's it. You don't have to sit there and listen to what the mind says. You're the boss. Mind comes in and says, oh, you should really worry about this thing. No, no. And in the beginning, you could just say, my master says no. Sick the master on the mind. Mind comes in and starts to bother you with something. No, no, no. Speak to Maharaj, not me. There really is nothing to get. You just remain with your selfless self. And that's why Maharaj says, you have to do the meditation. If you're not doing the meditation, if you're not spending time with your selfless self, if you're not discarding and discovering presence and removing these clothes so that you can wear these clothes loosely, then it's not going to happen. And yet, Maharaj has said, if you remain with your selfless self, he gives you 100% guarantee. Why? Because Balsev Maharaj, well, first off, Guru Lingam Maharaj, Balsev Maharaj, Siddharameshwar Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj, and now you. Each has been given the instructions and followed the instructions and gotten the result exactly the same. It's like baking a cake. You've been given the ingredients. Now, if you're told that the cake has to bake for 2 hours and 20 minutes and you choose to be a little bit naughty and open at two hours, it's not going to be the same cake. So if Maharaj says spend time with yourself and you don't really spend time with yourself, you look forward to the Tuesday talk. Ah, good. We have some good questions. We're going to ask some good questions. But all through the week, we're just doing our regular things and not paying attention to ourselves. And we're not having bhajan and we're not doing any kind of reading and we're not doing anything at all for spirituality. Then it's a complete waste of time. If you are creating a spiritual atmosphere all the time, By reading the master's writings, listening to the bhajans, and most importantly, because that's the atmosphere, now you remain with your selfless self. I mean, in the beginning, when I came to India, I wanted to know myself, and the Maharaj would have said, okay, we're going to throw gasoline on you and light you on fire just for a short time so that you can experience yourself fully. I would be like, okay, it sounds terrible, but I really want to know myself. You know, whatever was told, and it was immediate. The mantra, it was just like, okay, I'm going to run this mantra, and see the experiences would come up. I've spoken about before, hot water, cold water. Sometimes, like, you know, very tough to take a shower. Okay, but I'm not showering. I'm remaining with mantra because I see this as an opportunity. My master has placed this situation for me to remain with my selfless self or cry like a little whiny human. You know, oh, the water's so cold. I don't like having to take cold shower. No. Remain with selfless self, mantra. And the most beautiful thing then was the food poisoning, because it could have easily been crying like a little baby. Oh, I feel so sick. I'm so far from home. I'm throwing up. I have diarrhea. I'm shaking. I'm sweating. But instead, I remained with mantra. It wasn't until Maharaj came in and said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to bring you to the hospital. And that impressed. Ooh. And then I remained with mantra. And in the car with him, remained with mantra. And at the hospital, remained with mantra. So there was no experience, no experiencer. So any of these things, and they're just seen. I don't know why in this experience it was impressed that these experiences are only there because you've been given mantra. God, in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, has given you a mantra to escape from this body-based illusion. And now we're going to throw some body-based scenes at you, and you're either going to fall back into the illusory ditch, or you are going to walk through this without an experience, without an experiencer, without a mind flow, because mind is kept busy with mantra. And that's the earnestness that is required to remain with your selfless self. And then go about, do your job, do your duties. Now you know yourself. You know yourself in a real sense. Maharaj says all spirituality is for one thing, to know yourself in a real sense. If you know yourself as a body named John, and you are doing spirituality as a body named John, then none of this will make sense. And you will cry about the progression that John is getting or not getting, the fact that the mantra is working or not working, the fact that life is just so amazingly tough and I don't have time to do spirituality right now because I have bills and my job gives me 80 hours a week and blah, 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 blah. Or you remain with your selfless self. And these things are occurring. Okay, maybe you can't take it. That's when bowing to the master, talking to the master, master, this is not good. And I'm in a little bit worrisome trouble, but I know I have complete faith and trust in you. Because this experience seems really not good, maybe a relationship that I want to have happen isn't progressing, or maybe it's not progressing at all, or maybe I'm lonely or whatever, but Master, I know this experience is just for me to recognize my selfless self. I surrender this whole situation to you. I am at your feet. I am unmoving at your feet.
So when the body knowledge is transcended, the wisdom that you are that is there. When the body knowledge is coming, then the devotion is coming. It's very beautiful. Yeah.
Yet devotion arises spontaneously. I mean, continuously. And I have pictures of the master all over the house. I'll walk into the kitchen and take something out of the freezer or whatever to eat and find myself bowing to the master. When I have a very nice meal, I say, oh, thank you, master. I eat so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's just a natural spontaneous occurrence. And it sounds maybe kind of goofy that you're always going around thanking the master and asking the master what's to do and all this kind of stuff. But because master's everywhere, I know this Ramakant Maharaj is here. I may rely on and ask anytime, master, please help me with this. Master, this is happening. Or, you know, maybe there's a banking error and I look and I'm like, whoa. Okay, master, I know it's all illusion. It's all going to work out. So I'm going to sit for a moment. And then spontaneously, I pick up the phone. I call customer service. They work it out. Everything's fine. No mind flow, no projection, no worry, no expectation. And especially now, you know, previously you might say, okay, Sri Ramakant Maharaj is all the way in India and John is in America. How can John rely on Maharaj? Maybe I have to WhatsApp him or something. Oh my goodness, this terrible thing is happening. And he was fine with it talking, you know, but now he's left the body. So now Maharaj is everywhere, including inside this body. And now I just use this opportunity to say, Master, okay, this situation, this is this. Everything's fine. What to do? After tonight, you know, everybody's closed the door, whatever. I walk into my bedroom. I bow to Gurulinga Maharaj, Bhavsev Maharaj, Siddhameshwar Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj. I get into bed. I put my hand on the pillow like this, and I thank the master. And I always say, thank you, master. Those words, they came from you. I had nothing to do with anything. You used this instrument and spoke your words, and I was not there. I'll watch the video tomorrow and see how it was, but I was not there. It was only you. You took hold of this body and used it as a voice box. Because it's only the master being your own selfless self. And when you bow to the master, you're bowing to your selfless self.
That's the experience I had this week. Because of my history, you know, being Christian and so forth, there was always this sense of disloyalty to the person of Christ. And the other day I was just, you know, like I meditate in the morning, then I do yoga out on the porch, just take it real slow and just kind of do it, like continue the meditation. And it just dawned on me that I remember years ago when, maybe when I was in college or something like that, I read a passage. My grandmother had an old Bible, and I read a passage and said, unless you leave father and mother, home, and so forth, you're not worthy of me. Unless you deny yourself and follow me, you know, and take up your cross or whatever. And so that was the first kind of like, sense of a call I felt. And but what I realized was that it wasn't actually maybe the person of Jesus. It was actually my own self that led me to Jesus, who then led me step by step to other masters and so forth. Kind of like it's like what Ramakant would say, that, you know, like you that masters the self is yourself. And it's projected out there. You see it out there, and you have a masters, of course, and we need that. But that master was, the self was there originally within me doing the whole thing. You know,
absolutely.
It's all very good, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the presence, and Maharaj says all the time, see yourself as formless and see the master as formless, and there's no separation. The formless presence in the form of Jesus speaking those words and having these different things, and the same with Buddha, or the same with any, because it's all your own selfless self. Yeah. Kathleen, the same presence that's in Jesus is in Kathleen. The same presence that's in St. Francis is in Rami. And the same presence that's in Buddha is in Andrew. It's the one presence. That's all there is. It's only because we take ourselves to be separate bodies that we say, oh, that's like blasphemy to say I'm Jesus. No, you're not Jesus. Jesus was the label given to a body form that was used by presence to go into the world and say, you are not body, you are not body, you're not going to remain the body. Only he said it by crucify the flesh. And then the people of the time, they started writing down from the understanding of a body-based position. They were holding body knowledge and believing that this was adding to body knowledge, so they wrote it down from the perspective of a person talking to a person, and this was a very wise person who was God. But they wrote it down from the perspective of one form to another form. And it's not like that. Everything that Jesus says is exactly the same as what we're saying here in a different kind of a way of, you know, crucify yourself. You leave everything behind. If you love your father and your mother more, then you don't love me. Same thing here. God is a jealous God. If you remain with the sense of presence and you discard everything else, then you're worshiping God. The only God you need to worship is the sense of presence, and then that sense of presence can funnel down into any of the religions. You could say, you know, okay, this presence, if you want to call this presence the Holy Spirit, call it the Holy Spirit. You want to call this presence the Christ? Okay, call it Christ. You want to call this presence consciousness? Call it consciousness. It doesn't care because it's not like that. Yeah, somebody can go to church and say, wow, that was a wonderful sermon. I held my hand up and the Holy Ghost was running through my body. And I can totally understand and relate. Yes, you were getting in touch with your selfless self. You were focusing on the sense of presence and not on your little silly worldly problems that you were focusing on before you came to church and raised your hand and said you were feeling the Holy Ghost.
It's all about surrender and acceptance.
Well, even the surrender and the acceptance, there's nothing to, you just know that nothing is, so you don't have to, there's no you. There's no idea or concept of surrender because nothing is here.
Yeah, the only true surrender is to know that there's no one to surrender.
Exactly. Giving up the idea or the concept of a surrenderer, right. Someone that could surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only way that you can think about surrendering is through the concept of I am someone that is surrendering.
In order to get something.
Exactly. Most all of the church folks are like, oh, you know, if you give in the collection plate, you'll get back 20 times more or whatever. Or, you know, God wants me to have a Mercedes or something like this. But the truth is, you just want to remain with yourself. Just remain with the presence. You can call the presence God. Okay, worship. When you're worshiping God and you're saying your prayers, no, it's the presence. You're inviting the attention of the invisible listener.
All right.
I think Siddha Rameshwara said, renounce the renouncer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't make being quiet a task, you know, and renouncing as some great thing. Oh, you know what? I am a world-class renouncer. I don't care about my family. I leave my job. I go, I wander naked in the woods. But that's the egoistic sense of doing all this stuff.
Yeah, the ego is pretty tricky that way.
Absolutely. Like Maharaj says, you grow the beard, you put the beads, and all this stuff, and you look very spiritual, but you're decorating the body. Did you come across with a decorated body? No. Decorate your inner master with devotion, with bhakti, you know, bhakti, with bhajan, with devotion. It's the I can't tell you. Everywhere, it's bowing, constant thank you. And using this body form as an instrument of devotion.
Oh. Yep. That sounds like a good time, John. It's 8:20.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. It's hot in my house, too.
Yeah. Okay. It's hot everywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Okay, namaste.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.